Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, last Sunday I talked with you about how, for Christians, Christmas keeps going. Christmas, for Christians, doesn't stop on December 25th. It doesn't stop on January 1st. The consequences, the implications, the effects of Christmas continue to form and influence and direct us Christians all year long, even our entire lifetimes. Last Sunday, we talked about how Christmas means that we are two things. We are loved and we are sent. The baby in the manger came to die for our sins and rise again for us. And that baby shows us that we are loved by God. We are loved sacrificially and selflessly. That love isn't earned and it isn't deserved. It is freely given to us by God's grace and mercy. And not only are we loved by God, we are also sent by God. Sent to serve others, again, selflessly, sacrificially, as we have first been loved and served by God. So, who is this God who loves us and sends us? Somebody might say, well, everyone knows who God is. People talk about God all the time. Well, unfortunately, people do not know who God is. There's a great deal of confusion in our time regarding the identity of God. God is not some generic God. He is not a God that we made up. He is not many gods, as in your God and my God and his God and their God. No, there is only one God. As the scriptures keep repeating, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, for example, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." In the Apostles' Creed, we confess and proclaim who this God is. We say, to begin with, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." The God who has loved us and sent us is our Father. Our Father. The Bible speaks of God as our Father. Jesus taught us to pray to God, our Father. What a blessing this is, because it means that we are His children. It means, as Luther said, that we get to come before God not in fear and trepidation, not as strangers or enemies of God, but with all boldness and confidence, talking to God and asking Him as dear children, earthly children, would ask their dear earthly father. So we are not God's slaves, we are not His robots, we are not strangers to God, we are His children. Galatians 3:26 says, "In Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." And in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18, God says, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me." God is our Father. And as the Creed says, God is also Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Genesis 1 and 2 tell us that God created all things, including mankind. We didn't make Him. He made us. He designed us. Genesis 1 says, God created man in His own image. Male and female He created them, and behold, it was very good. Which means, we are not random. We are not accidents of nature. We are not meaningless. We are purposely designed and created by God. Now, if we are designed and created by God, that means that we are designed under certain parameters and definitions. We are designed by God for certain purposes. And those purposes are to be in relationship with God and to be in relationship with each other. And how do those relationships work? What do they look like? Well, that's what the Ten Commandments are for. The Ten Commandments show us what it means and how it works to love God and love our neighbor. The Ten Commandments can be divided into two parts. The first part is made up of the first three commandments, and they define what our relationship with God looks like. The first commandment says, "You will have no other gods before me." The second commandment, "You will not misuse the name of the Lord your God." Third commandment, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." These commandments tell us what it means to love God. The other seven commandments tell us what it means to love others. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Do not covet. In John 13, verse 34, Jesus says, "Love one another as I have loved you." Well, that love for one another is spelled out in these seven commandments. These commandments show us how God designed us. They show us what it means to live as God's children, what it means to be members of His family. The Ten Commandments show us all that God intends us to be in this world. Some would say that all we need from God is that this is all we need from God our Father. If He just gives us these Ten Commandments, we're good. We've got the plan. We've got the rules. Now we'll just go out there and follow them and everything will be great. If it were only that easy. The truth is, you and I in so many ways contradict God's design for our lives. We don't follow His plan. We say, "I'd rather do it my way." And so we put other things before Him and we steal and harm and lie and disobey. And our love isn't selfless and sacrificial. It's self-serving. It's selfish. We fall far short of God's plan for us in this world. And in the process, we cause all kinds of harm among us, violence and injustice and suffering, even death. So what is God to do with His disobedient, rebellious children? What does God do with His creation that is no longer functioning according to the design that He gave it, but is in fact terribly broken? What would you do? What do you do when that engine that you spent months rebuilding still pours forth oily smoke every time you start it up? What do you do when that house you're restoring starts showing cracks in the foundation and now the roof has soft spots and the termites have taken over? What do you do when that relationship that you've been trying to fix all these years explodes yet again? There comes a point where you and I say, "Forget it." There comes a point where we say, "This car, this house, this relationship is just too costly. It's not worth it." And we walk away. Perhaps that's what God our Father should do with us. As broken as this world is, as messed up as we are, perhaps He should walk away. If He did, everyone would understand. It would make sense. But He didn't. He didn't leave us or give up on us. That's the joy and the power of Christmas. When you get right down to it, God our Father did not give up on us or abandon us. Instead, he sent a Savior who is Christ the Lord, a Savior, the baby in the manger. Christmas is God saying to the world, to you, to me, as broken as we are, as messed up as we are, God is saying, I'm not giving up on you. I have a plan to save you, restore you, forgive you, redeem you. And that plan begins with a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. As the prophet Isaiah had foretold, that child is called Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which in Hebrew means God with us. God with us, not God against us. God with us. God hasn't abandoned us. God hasn't forgotten us or given up on us. He has come to save us. In Christ, we are forgiven and redeemed. In Christ, we are loved and sent. In Christ, we are those who go out into the world and look for those people that everyone else has given up on, and we say, we're not giving up on you yet. We look for those relationships that seem like they can't be restored, but we know that with God's power, there is peace available that you can't find anywhere else. We look even at our own lives, which in many respects, some of us, we've just given up. We just say, it's never going to work. I give up on myself. No. No, we don't. God hasn't. He has not abandoned us. Therefore, we don't either. In Christ, we are forgiven and redeemed. In Christ, we are loved and sent. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.